So without further ado, I'd just like to invite my fellow elder, Brother Kenny, to come and share the word for the beginning of the year 2024.
Thanks, bro. Thanks, Patrick. God bless you all. I think it'll be a good idea just for everyone to get up and just go and say hi to somebody. There's a few people here who are here for the first time, so why don't you just go get up out of your seat and go and acknowledge someone who you've never met before. Can we do that this morning?
Hey, how are you, brother?
Good,
good to see you, mate. Yeah, I like your FA going on, man. Good to see you, man. Happy New Year.
Amen. What a big building this is. And one of the disadvantages of having a big building is that everyone likes to sit at the back, and we leave all these nice new seats reserved. So we're just going to ask all you beautiful people to come on closer down. Come closer. Come. Please. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. We don't bite. We're not here for long, so we might as well make the most of it. Amen. Come on, come down, guys. Come on closer. God bless you. Amen. So it's a real privilege to be able to share the word this morning with you. I just want to say to Pat, I just want to commend Patrick for putting it right this morning that we can do nothing without the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's nothing we can do in this place without the anointing, without the Holy Spirit. We need the anointing. Whether we're in church or whether we're in the morning service or whether we're out there working and playing and at home and looking after our families and amongst and in and out of our jobs and our schools. And I'd just like to just commend Patrick for saying that this morning that we cannot do anything without the Holy Spirit. And whether you've been a Christian for 2 years or 10 years or 20 years, some of you 40, 50 years, we still need the Holy Spirit. Amen? We still need the Holy Spirit regardless. And I can't do anything without Him. And I had to remind myself that over the last few weeks that there is absolutely nothing I can do without the Holy Spirit. That is not by might nor by power, not by anyone's good speech or good words or preaching or no one's amazing ability to prophesy. It is solely the power of the Holy Spirit as to why we are able to do what we do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, I want to say this morning just what a privilege it is to be sharing the message, sharing the word of what I believe God has laid on my heart for not only for my life and for the life of my family, but hope and that it is a word for you. This might be a word that you might be able to grasp and run with, but I think it's very, very important that we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. It is absolutely crucial in the times that we are living in to know who Jesus is. Amen? Everybody say amen to that. Yeah? It is absolutely crucial for you and for me to know who Jesus is and to have an intimate and personal relationship. Because if there is anything that God is looking for, and that He seeks after His personal relationship with His people. Amen? It is absolutely crucial, and I cannot stress that enough this morning, how important it is for you and I to know Him. To know Him.
Amen.
It is absolutely important for you and I to know Him and to know His voice. And to know what He's saying to us. Amen, church. Oh, sorry, excuse me. I might get a little bit shaky, or I might get a little bit, but I can guarantee you this morning, that you know the word that came to us this morning, so look for him, look for me, he says, look for me, and you will find me. You'll find me even in the most unlikely places. You will find me. When you see him, boom, it will blow you. He will blow your mind. And so I thought I had a message last week while I was praying. I thought I had a message, and I thought it was going to be a continuation of the previous message that I shared on prayer and warfare. And so when I started praying about sharing this morning, God said, no, this is what I'm showing you. And it was very, very clear what he was showing me. And one of the things that he said to me, and I'm just going to say it out. One of the things that he said to me, I said about 2024, is that 2024 is going to be a year of letting go. 2024 is going to be a year of letting go. Now, look, God's given us all different words and prophetic words, and you might be hearing God saying something else, and that's fine. I've got no problem with that. That's absolutely fine. But what he said to me the other night when I got praying was that 2024 was going to be a year of us letting go. And let me just get into the word as we go, and then I'll just elaborate a little bit more about what I believe the Lord and the Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning. And my reference is Matthew chapter 11. If you have your Bibles with you, Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Jesus is the most incredible person. Jesus is the most incredible person that you could ever know. He is the most incredible and most wild person you could ever imagine. And I'll tell you, you know, over the last few years, since 2019, when my whole world was turned upside down, I saw the Lord in the Spirit. And he spoke to me. And I tell you, my life has never been the same ever before. I thought I was going to be a nice Christian, just come to church, worship lead, and be a good worship leader, and do the best I can, and look after my wife, and look after my family, and make sure they're all good, and then die, and think that it was all, that was it. That was it. That was my life. That was what life was going to be. But I tell you what, since Jesus came and confronted me in 2019, I realize that life, that what he has for you and me, what he has for you and me is absolutely wild. It's absolutely wild. It's absolutely wild. He wants to take you and I on a journey that will just totally transform us and totally change and shift the way we see the world, and we see things, and we perceive the kingdom of God. And you know, I might not get it right all the time, but I can tell you what, it is absolutely amazing when we have an encounter with Jesus. And I want you to know that he is the most important person. He is the most important thing to me and my family, to me and my wife, because everything hinges on him. Everything hinges on his love for you and me. Amen, church? Amen, church? Everything hinges on him. He is our blessed hope, the word says. He is our blessed hope. And everything is on him. And he will never fail us. He cannot fail. He cannot fail us. He is absolutely, absolutely in love with his church. He is absolutely in love with you. He is absolutely in love with you. And when he says, come to me, he's not joking. He says, come unto me, come unto me. And I just want to read from Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. And it says in verse 25, it says, at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father. It's just very important that we just get that we understand who Jesus is and what he means to the Father and what the Father means to him. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. These are the words of Jesus. All things have been committed to me by the Father. No one knows the Father, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble. Everybody say gentle and humble. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Everybody say rest for my soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me just read verse 28 again. Come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come unto me. So when I was praying, for this morning, the first thing I heard when I just started to pray was, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Not come to the latest revival. Not come to the prayer meeting. Not come to the biggest and baddest thing that's happening on the globe right now. Not come to the next great thing. Not come to the next best thing. He said very clearly to me, he said, come to me. That's the word of Jesus. These are the words of Jesus. He says, come unto me, all who labor, all who are weary, all who are burdened, all who are stressed, all who are overworked and underpaid. Even those who are overpaid and underworked, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me. These are the words that I heard the Spirit say to me the other night when I got down to pray. He says, come to me. Now we've got to understand what Jesus is saying when he says, come unto me. It was a little bit like I had to call you down from the back seats. You know, and some people were hesitant. Some people just got up and walked over and, you know, no problem. But some of you, this guy. This guy wants to get me uncomfortable. And I tell you what, it's exactly what the Lord wants to do in your life and in my life. He wants to get us uncomfortable. And he's beckoning us. He's beckoning us in 2024 and in 2025 and in 2026 and 2027. And the Lord is beckoning you and me, whether you see him or not and whether you believe it or not, but he's beckoning you and I to come to him. And he's saying, come, come away. Come away, come away with me, come away with me, come away with me, and I will show you things. I will show you weird and wonderful things. I will show you things that will absolutely blow your mind. And I will share with you things that will absolutely transform you from one phase of glory to another phase of glory. And so he beckons us to come. He beckons you and I. He wants us and he desires for us to come to him, because his plans for you and I are good plans. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's a well-known scripture. that gets bashed around so often that I have plans for you. And many of us know the plans. Many of us know that God has good plans for us, but many of us aren't willing to come. Amen? Amen? Not talking about anyone here, of course. Hey? But many of us know that He is good. Many of us understand that His plans for us are even good. And His future, His plans for our future are good. And He's got a hope and a future for us. But many of us don't want to let go. Because where we are is too precious. Many of us are stuck. Many of us are comfortable. Many of us are comfortable with the way things have always been. And because it's comfortable and it's nice and it feels good, and because that's the way it's always been, it's got to be right for me. It's got to be right for me. I want to say to you this morning, I want to declare this morning to you, that Jesus is saying to each and every single one of us here in this building. In fact, He's saying it to every believer. And He's saying to every unbeliever, come, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me. For my all those who labor, all those who are weary, all those who are burdened, all those who are stressed, all those who are unhappy with the government, all those who are unhappy with the way life is, all those who are unhappy and unsatisfied in what they're doing in their lives today. And He says, come unto me. I've got a plan for you. I've got a plan for you that will absolutely turn your life upside down. He says, come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I can testify to the scripture. I can testify to the truth of the scriptures in this passage, because ever since my life got turned upside down in 2009, on March of 2019, I tell you what, I don't care. I don't care who's in government. It doesn't matter to me who's in government. I don't care who my manager is, who thinks he can push me around. Oh, he ain't pushing me around. But ever since 2019, I can honestly say to you, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care about the devil. I don't care about the enemy. I don't care about the strongholds in our city. I don't care about the attacks of the enemy. I don't even care. I don't even care about whether I've got a job or not. Because in 2019, I realized who my source was. I truly realized who my source was. I truly understood who my source is today. Amen? I understand who my source is. And I understand that everything, like I said before, everything sits on Jesus. Not only for your life, but for the life of VCC, everything hinges on Jesus. Amen? Everything hinges on Jesus. And I want to tell you this morning, you're in a good place. You're in a good place this morning. You're in a good place this morning. Don't listen to the naysayers, but you're in a good place this morning. Why? Because this is God's place. This is the Father's place. This mountain belongs to God. You're on Beaumont Street. You're on Beaumont Hill. You're on beautiful mountain. And this mountain belongs to the Lord God. This mountain belongs to the Lord God. This building belongs to the Lord God. We're just caretakers of it. We're just looking after it for His will and His plan. And I tell you, His will and His plan for VCC are good plans. They're excellent plans. They're good plans. And I tell you, some of you who have been here for years and years and many years, I tell you what, God has a harvest for you. 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 Make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it, church. God has a harvest set for you. And He will have His harvest. He will have His harvest. He will have His harvest. He will get it. He will get it. Don't you worry. Don't you stress. He will have His harvest. But many of us, God is calling us, but many of us are still holding on. Many of us are still holding on. And when I got down to pray about this morning, and the Lord showed me what He wanted to speak on, and what He said to me, He said, "This is a year of letting go. This is a year of letting go." In the spirit, I saw a structure. I don't know whether it was a building or whether it was just a structure. And I saw the hands of many believers touching the structure. They were holding the structure like this. And it looked as if they wanted to go, but they were too attached to the structure. They were too attached to whatever it was they were holding on to. And I said to the Holy Spirit, I asked the Lord, I said, "What is the structure?" And He said, "The structure that you can see that these people are holding on to is the structure of the sense of false securities. The false sense of securities." There's a false sense of security in the structure that people are holding on to as to why they won't let go. Let me tell you what some of those structures are. They're religious traditions. They're religion. They're an old way of doing things. Are you hearing me this morning? There's a false sense of security. And this structure is called the false sense of security. And many people are attached to the false sense of security structure. And one of those structures is tradition. Some people cannot get away from tradition, religious traditions. Some people cannot get away from ideologies, from old ideologies and old perceptions of church and structure and all this sort of stuff. And doctrine, around doctrine. Even doctrine was one of those things that I saw was a false sense of security. And people were attached to this thing. And God was beckoning them, calling them, come unto me. And I saw Jesus saying, come unto me. But they couldn't let go. In Matthew chapter 14, it's a very well known story in the Bible. God is calling us away from this false sense of security. And in Matthew chapter 14, I just want you to turn there if you've got your Bibles with you. And in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22, it says, "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. And while he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, I honestly don't know how he did it, because he just finished feeding the 5,000. And then he stays up all night to pray. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Sorry, my glasses are getting foggy. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is me. It is I. Don't be afraid." It was just Peter. "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? "Come on. Come. Come. Come," he said. Then Peter got down of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. What did Jesus say? "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I mean, it's the perfect scenario, right? How many times have we read this? I don't know how many times I've read this passage, but it's never meant more to me now than it has ever before. And Jesus is standing on the water. Let me just say that again. Jesus is standing on the lake. He is standing on the water. And what's the first thing he says? What's the first thing he says, church? He says, "Take courage." He says, "Be strong and of good courage." How many times do we read that in the Bible? Be strong and of good courage. He says, the first thing he says, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." How many times do we hear that? How many times do we hear that throughout Scripture? The same words, "Be strong and of good courage. Don't fear. It is me." And when I was praying that night, this is what was coming. This is what was coming to me. This is what the Holy Spirit was saying to me. He says, "Take courage. It is me. Don't be afraid." And he was speaking it to me in my language. He says, Hey, bro. He says, "Don't be scared. Don't be scared." He said, it's me. It's me. Remember? Remember Jesus? Me. It's me. He said, "Be strong." And I could hear my I could almost hear my dad's voice say, "Sale oke fefe. Sale oke pala ai." This is Psalm 1. He speaks Psalm 1 to me. He says, "Sale oke fefe. Oke pala ai. Sale." And this is how he's talking to me. I can hear my mum's voice too. He says, "Hey, Sully! Say, I wicked fefe says, white pala aike this is." But when you talk with Jesus, that's how he talks to you. He talks to you the way you know, the way you understand. That's how he is. That's how he is. He doesn't come and quote the King James version of the Bible. He doesn't say, "Come unto me. Fear not." No, he goes, "Don't be scared, boy. Come. come. So I used to talk to my kids when they were young. Come. Oh, okay, fifi. Oh, okay, pala. Aisali. So. Mkwa, so. Amen. Amen. It's like he's doing the haka to me. You know, like honestly, it's like he's doing a war dance to me, but he's calling me to come to him. And I don't know whether you've seen this happen in the service before, but when he's calling you, when he's saying to us as a church to come to him, he's not quiet about it. He's not gentle about it. Yes, he's gentle and he's meek and he's humble. But the Jesus that I see when I'm in the Spirit, he's absolutely passionate. He's absolutely passionate about it. He wants you to come. 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 You want me? You want me? You're good at quoting scriptures? Here I am. Come and get me. That's how he's talking. That's what he's saying to us, church. That's what he's saying to us. He says, don't be scared. Come. I'm here. You want me? Come and get me. He's not quiet about it. He's not quiet about it. And I'm telling you, in all honesty and all love and affection and hugs and kisses. But I want to tell you that when you see Jesus as he is, he's just mad. He's a man on fire. You know, when the Bible describes him as fire in his eyes. And when he speaks, it's like a thousand waterfalls. You're telling me that he's quiet and he's quoting scriptures nicely and he's very gentle, he's very humble about it? No, he's confronting. He's confronting, church. He's confronting. And when he comes into the service, he's not quiet about it. I'm here. Now come to me. Come to me. And it's confronting. It is. It's really confronting. There was one service we had here on a Sunday morning years ago, and the Holy Spirit said, "What do you want? What do you want?" No, he says, "What do you want? What do you want? Do you want me, or do you want something else? Because I'm ready to go. You know, listen, church, he's ready to go." Is that, you know, and he's standing at my bedside and he's going, is that us? Is that us? Is that us? Kenny, is that us? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? Because I want you to come. I want you to come. Are you ready? Church, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. But he's ready to go. He's ready to go. And he's waiting. He's waiting. He's waiting for an answer. He's waiting for an answer. He's waiting for a response. And he's not waiting for you to come up to the altar call. No. He's waiting for you and I to make a decision. To make a decision that when he's standing before you and he's saying, come to me, is that us? Is that us? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to go? Shawnee, are you ready to go? Tony, are you ready to go? Lucina, are you ready to go? Is that us? Are we on? Are we on? Are we going to go now? Are we going to go now? This is the question that Jesus is asking. Come. Are you ready? Because I am. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's do it. And all he's waiting for is a response from you and me to say, yeah, let's go. Let's go. Let's do this. Because I tell you, when he confronts you, you know what? It's so compelling that you can't say no. It is so compelling that he wants that you cannot say no. There is no other answer. There is no other answer. You can say no. That's up to you. But I tell you, when you are confronted with the Lord, when you are confronted with the Lord, and you see him as he is. And he's saying to you, let's go, let's do this. What are you going to say? Oh, I'm just going to go and do what I've always been doing. I'm just going to just go and, you know, hang out with my mates. I'm just going to go and do church like I've always done it, eh? You know? Just going to go and fluff around here and there. Try and look like a Christian. Try and, you know, try and fit in somewhere. Try and blend. You know, do the same old, you know? You know what I mean? The question is, are you willing to come? Is that us? That's the question he's asking. Is that us? Is that us? Sue? Is that us? Raymond, is that us? This is Jesus speaking. Is that us? Because if you're ready to go, let's go. If you're ready to go, Pat, let's go. I'm on. Let's go. Let's do it. I'm ready. I was ready 1,000 years ago. Do you know what I mean? Malaya, are you ready? Are you ready? This is Jesus speaking. Are you ready, bro? Because I'm ready. Let's go. Let's do this. See, he's beckoning you. See, there's an expectation that when he confronts you, there's an expectation to say, let's go, man. And in 2019, I made a decision. In 2019, I made a decision. I didn't get saved in 2019. But I came away. I came away from the old. I came away from my false sense of security. I let go of all the false sense of securities. I let go of all the things that gave me that false sense of security. Doctrine. I'm not saying that doctrine's wrong. But there are some crazy ass doctrines around out there. So-called organizational church system. Some people call it the machine that some of us won't let go of. But I want to tell you this morning that 2024 year, the 2024 is a year where we will let go of the past. We will let go of things that make us comfortable and feel good. And we're going to take hold of the things that God has for us. The new things. The wild things. The exciting things. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Very good.
We're going to take hold of Jesus. We're going to take hold of Jesus. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, well-known scripture. John on the island of Patmos sees the throne of heaven. He says, after this I looked, and there before me was a door. Did you know that one of the things in the Hebrew calendar year, 5784, is the year of the door? That's interesting, isn't it? One of them. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet says, what? Come up here. Come up here. Come up here. Come up here. He's saying, come up here. And I will show you what must take place after this. He says, come up here. In other words, he's saying, come up higher. Come up higher, church. Come unto me. Come unto Jesus. And he will take you higher. He will take you higher than where you are now. Come up here. Jesus is beckoning you and I to come. To come unto him, not to the biggest, latest craze, not to the latest movement, not to the next prayer meeting, not to the next big thing, you know. But he's saying, come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto Jesus. He is the author. He's the finisher of our faith. He is the first and the last. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Jesus matters more than anything else, church. Jesus has to matter to us more than anything else. And that the most important thing and the most crucial thing for you and I in this day and age, and I tell you what, it is getting dark out there. If it's not dark already, I tell you, it is getting even darker. It is getting even darker. But the beautiful thing, when it gets dark, we begin to shine even brighter. We begin to shine even brighter. And I want to just put that out there to you, church, this morning. Let go. Let go. It's time to let go. It's time to take hold. It's time to take hold of the new. It's time to take hold of Jesus. It's time to take hold of Jesus. It's time to take hold of Him. And don't let go. For whatever may happen, don't ever let go of Jesus. Just on the end of that scripture, Matthew chapter 11. I just want to read it again. It's a very important scripture. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth." At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by the Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Himself to. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's stand to our feet this morning. I don't know where you are at in the Lord this morning. I don't know which part or which end of the spectrum you are at in terms of your journey with God. And I don't know what your challenges are. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what circumstances you might be going through this morning. But I believe that the Holy Spirit is wanting a decision from you as to what you're going to do with 2024. And like I said, I don't know, I don't understand where you've come from or what's going on in your life, but I know this one thing. I know that Jesus wants to make the biggest difference in your life today than ever before. Whether it happens today, whether it happens in your bedroom at night, whether it happens in your own space, in your own quiet space with the Lord, I don't know. But the Lord is wanting a decision from you. But He's also wanting you and wanting us, I mean, He's wanting us to let go of some of the things that cause us to stay in an old way of doing things, in an old mindset, in an old religious mindset. in an old way of doing things, in an old way of living. Old sins, old generational sins and generational curses. And some people find great comfort in those things because they just find it so hard to let go. But I want to say this morning that Jesus beckons each and every single one of us here this morning to come unto me. Those who are stressed, those who are so busy that don't have time for their families, come unto me. Those who are struggling in their marriage, struggling in their relationship with their wives, and those who are struggling in their relationship with their children, those who are struggling in their relationship with their peers, those who are having a hard time at work. Because let's be real about it, we have issues, we all have issues, we all have our challenges in life. There's no easy way to say it. We all have problems. We all go through stuff. We're all human. But you know, the beautiful thing about Jesus is that He understands all our weaknesses. He understands all our trials and He understands all our issues. And I want to say this morning that the only one that has the answer is Jesus, Yeshua, Messiah. Amen. The only one that has the answer for you this morning, whatever your issue might be, church, whatever your issue might be, the only one that has the answer for you is Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, the one that died for you, the one that died for me, the one that took me in when everybody else didn't like me. When everybody else rejected me, when everybody else thought that my issues were too much for them, He was the one that took me in. And you know, the beautiful thing about Jesus is that when He tells you to come, it says in the Bible, He would never, ever turn you away. For whatever reason, He will never, ever turn us away. So as He beckons us, He welcomes us. And He goes, let's go. Let's do this. I got great plans for you. I got great plans for you, brother. I've got great plans for you, my sister. I got great plans that will just blow your mind. If that's you this morning, we're not going to pray for anybody, but why don't you just come down to the altar? Why don't you come down to the altar, and if it's in your heart to say, yes, let's do this, Lord, then you go right on ahead. That's your business. But just come down as an acknowledgement of what has been shared this morning. Let's go. Let's do this, Jesus. I love you. Amen. 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 Can we come down? Let's just come down as a sign of acknowledgement. The sign of acknowledgement and a sign of declaration that this is what I'm going to do with my life. That 2024 is going to be a significant year for me and my family, for me and my wife, my spouse. This is going to be a significant year. A year that's going to mean for us letting go of the old nostalgic past, the old nostalgic ways, what was good in the past, what was good back then, the good old days, there's no more. This is a new place. This is a new time. This is a new year. And a new year requires new things, a new way of doing things, a new commitment, a fresh commitment, a new commitment, and a new fresh commitment to prayer, a new fresh commitment to my relationship with Jesus, a new fresh commitment in my health, a new fresh commitment in my business, a new fresh commitment in my life, a new fresh commitment in my relationship with my parents, a new fresh commitment in relation to my peers a new fresh commitment. So we're going to do this morning. We're just going to get you to pray however you feel. Say what's on your heart. Just say what's on your heart. He knows your heart anyway. But He knows our hearts. And all that matters to Jesus is your heart to Him this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for this new year. Koya kashane yarabo kushane rabaya ka. Koya kashane rabaya kushane rabaya ka. Thank you for this new year, Father. Thank you for 2024. Thank you for this year that will be a year of letting go of the past and striving towards the future. Lord, and walking forward and moving forward into our destiny, into our calling. Walking forward and moving forward into the newness of life, into the new things that you have for us, Father. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Koya koshane rama ya koshane rama. Thank you for the new things. Thank you for the new things. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for leading us forward. Thank you for guiding us into our future, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Thank you, team.